All right, if you would grab your Bible, we'll be in Ecclesiastes this evening. I agree with Mrs. Mitchell that I love our school. I didn't grow up here or go to it, but I love it. I enjoy being part of it. Enjoy being the principal. Not always when I walk by the front desk and see the kid standing at the wall of shame. Do I think, yes, this is great. But I really thoroughly enjoy being the principal, and I don't take lightly the trust that you put in us and in our school to train your children. We're going to look in Ecclesiastes at four different things, and this could kind of, in a sense, be looked at as the goal of our school, what we're trying to do. Four things here at the end of Ecclesiastes are brought out for us. Ecclesiastes could possibly be confusing. There's some strange statements in it, things like this: vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, all is empty and useless. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. I know the kids are thinking, man, I'm really sorry. The teachers are thinking, no, they should actually be pretty happy because they're not learning very much. Another verse: there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink. Now, as a man, I think we should stop right there. And that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. Just live it up. All right. Chapter 4 has this: wherefore I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive. Yea, better is he than both they which hath not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work which is done under the sun. Kind of like, what's going on? Chapter 7, sorrow is better than laughter, for the sadness of the countenance, and I typed the verse wrong. Chapter 7, verse 3. Sorrow is better than laughter, but for the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. Sadness makes us better. Chapter 7 again: wisdom is good with an inheritance. You know, as long as you got some cash with it, wisdom's a good thing. All right. Chapter 12 of making books: there is no end, and much study is a weariness in the flesh. All right, we could read some of these verses and wonder what in the world is going on here. Let me just kind of summarize what's going on in the book, and then we'll focus in on chapter 11 and a little bit of chapter 12 to get the four main points of tonight. First of all, this is a sermon preached by Solomon, and for most of the book, he's pointing out how empty and shallow and vain all this stuff around us is. Okay, that's something I think would readily agree to, but he's not just talking about the evil and those type of things. Just everything in this world is vain. My house, vacations. I was thinking about those that were on the cruise. Not that we should go on a cruise, but they're not going to stand in heaven and say, yeah, you guys remember that cruise? And in the end, and in light of eternity, it's pretty empty. Or a good job, having a healthy body, those type of things. It's in the end, once you think about eternity, there's not a whole lot to it. All right, so he spends a decent amount of time speaking about those types of things and how there's really emptiness in the end. And as he gets to the end of the book, he kind of turns it and starts talking about what really is important. In chapter 11, we're going to see four things there that, one, he tells us something we don't know, and then he tells us three things we should remember, and I thought with school, knowing and remembering are important. And then he gets down to chapter 12 at the very end, and he wraps it all up with a very famous statement. Chapter 12, verse 13 says this: let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I like taking subjects and trying to boil them down to just the really important things. And he did that for us here. Fear God and keep his commandments. If we can get those two things down, we will have done the whole duty of man. There's a whole lot involved there if you think about it. But he boils it down to that. So he goes through pointing out how really empty and shallow most things are. But if we can do that, we'll be doing something that's not vain, that's not empty, and not shallow. So, all right, so that's kind of the overview of the book. Chapter 11, he's approaching that conclusion and starting to wrap everything up. And he makes four points here that I'd like to review. And all of these are something that I hope the kids in the school get and something all of us need to get. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll jump into these 4 points. Lord, we ask that you'd help us as we look here in Ecclesiastes for a few minutes, that we would appreciate what this book is teaching us and go out of here focused on what's important, not the vain things, Lord, that aren't necessarily evil, but in the end, they really won't count for that much. Lord, help us to focus on the important things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, chapter 11, verse 5 is the first one. Let's just read 5 and 6. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. We don't know the works of God. All right, something we can't really comprehend. I thought about Nate's death. I don't know what's going on there, all right? But God does, all right? God knows those things. God is bigger, God is smarter, God is perfect, and it's not possible for us to have the perspective that God has on this world. He sees things we can't see. He's thinking about it more than just us. I know that kind of deflates our, at least us guys, our heads a little bit. There's more than just us in the world, and God's thinking about all those other people. And sometimes we think, just because I don't understand what's happening, God must be messing up. And that's completely wrong. We don't understand. We're not going to know the works of God. I thought of an illustration of this once. I saw a video clip of the entrance to some building. I've actually tried to find this again. I can't find it. But it had an art display hanging from the ceiling. And as you walked in, it just looked like random pieces of stuff hanging from the ceiling. But if you walked to one certain spot, everything lined up and it made a picture. And it kind of made me think about God's there. He sees the whole picture. And we're standing someone else in a room looking at things and thinking, I think God's confused. No, it's just that we don't have God's perspective. And we're not going to. Right? We're not going to know the works of God. And that shouldn't make us get scared and worry, wow, I hope God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. We can trust him. And even if we don't understand, it's okay. All right, so that's one thing we're told we're not going to know. We're not going to know the works of God. All right, the second thing starts in verse 7. True, the light is sweet and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness. For they shall be many, all that cometh is vanity. God's telling us here we need to remember that we're going to be dead someday. The days of darkness. And those days are going to be a lot. All right, we're going to be dead more than we're alive. One way or the other, we know that we're going to live forever in either heaven or hell for eternity. But that time frame is a whole lot longer than when we're alive on this earth. And it's easy for us to just get so tunnel vision and only see right now and forget about the eternity that's waiting for us. Remember the days of darkness. It's real hard for us to at least for me, to see past death into eternity. I know it's there, but it's this kind of far off, kind of misty thing that it's hard for me to really make part of my life. But God's here telling us, I've got to remember it. I thought again about those on the cruise, the half the church that was gone for the cruise. While they were sitting there in the sun, probably the snow piling up in their driveways seemed like this distant, far-off thing. But it was real. Okay? And heaven might seem like this distant, far-off thing, but it's real. All right? And we're told we should think about that now. All right? This, you can see a little bit why he says that so much is vain. I mean, all it's things that just consume our time. Again, not wrong, but in the end, when we're in heaven, it's not going to matter. All right? We need to be thinking about the days of darkness. We're going to face death, and we're going to be in that after-death life much longer than we're here. We're told to remember the days of darkness. Since I'm the third sermon tonight, I've got to watch my time. I thought of another illustration, a story I listened to a long time ago, but I think it illustrates this idea of heaven and what's coming for us and how it's hard for us to grasp. Many of you are familiar with the name Ernest Shackleton and his trip to the South Pole that didn't go so well. When his boat got stuck in the ice and smashed. And him and his guy spent, I forget now, 15 or 16 months on the ice and then in the South Pole just surviving. And towards the end of this, the book described all of the little things these guys had managed to keep this whole time, little pieces of seals and bones and some string and pieces of thread, all these things that were so important to them until the rescue boat showed up. And then they just walked away from that stuff and didn't even think about it again. Again, made me think about heaven. When we go to heaven, we're not going to be dragging our stuff with us and saying, oh man, I wish I had my laptop with me. It's hard for us to see that, but it's there. It's coming. And God's here telling us we need to remember that. It'll change the way we act. And the kids, I want them to think about that. For them as a kid, I know, you know, life is forever. I'm never dying, right? But as not a kid anymore, I don't think that way. I want them to think about eternity, and they're going to die. All right, so we're told to remember the days of darkness. All right, the third thing starts up in verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Here we have directed particularly at youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart, and in the sight of thy eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. All right, here we're told to remember, to know that we're going to be brought into judgment. This life is going to end. We just saw that. We're going to face death, and then we're going to be judged by God. Okay. Now, I don't think this has to be something we dread. Right? God does tell us we can have an enjoyable life. He's given us a beautiful world to enjoy. But as we're doing that, we need to remember there's a judgment to come. And I thought about tonight for a lot of children in this room. Judgment day is here. All right. Their parents are getting report cards. Seeing how they did over the last quarter, some students are happy. They bring it to their parents. Say, look, you know, I don't have all F's this time. There's an A. Or what? Others are, you see them hiding in the corners of the room down there, hoping their parents don't see them while they've got the report card in hand because they know they've got a bad report. God's telling us while we're here on earth to remember that there's going to be a judgment. Someday we're gonna get our grade card from God, and I don't want to have the F's on my report card. This again doesn't have to be something that causes us to just live this life of dread and misery. I almost said drizzery, but I'm not sure what that is. This life of misery of I'm facing judgment from God. You've probably been around a kid who's doing their homework. And they're excited about it, and they want to do a good job, and they're looking forward to the good grade. That can be us serving God. Or it could also be the kid you might have been around who is scribbling, and the teacher throws it away because it's trash, and they just have a bad attitude, and they're just sorry and grouchy. That could be also us. It doesn't mean we have to be miserable. But God wants us to remember, there's this judgment coming, and we should prepare for it. Kind of a fun judgment at my house. We have a contest for report cards. If the girls do well enough, then they get to go to Villanova's on Thursday night. I think it's more a contest for me than anything. And just whoever wins is, you know, some of them stay home, and of course I have to go as the father take them to Villanova's. But there's a judgment coming. And I know it's not a big deal to them, but it's a little bit fun. And often when they bring home a bad grade, I'll say, oh, Villanova's is looking bad. Right? I want them to be thinking that there's going to be this PTF service. And here God's telling us, remember, there's that judgment coming. Right? As we go through life, there's this judgment coming. Right now, it seems like a long ways off, just like in November when they're doing their math homework. January is eternity away, but it's here. And the judgment is coming. All right, one last point. chapter 12, verse 1, we see the last thing Solomon brings out here as he's approaching his conclusion. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember our Creator. Right? Remember God that created us. To me, a lot of things come to mind when I think about God as the Creator. I wrote three of them down here that I think that are pertinent. One, this means that God knows how things should operate. He created it. All right. When we want to know how do we get through life, how do we have what should be in a family? How should a marriage operate? How should a church work? How should I behave at work? God knows. He's our Creator. We should look to Him because He knows. So God knows how things should operate. God also is in control of things. Everything from the snow they're predicting for this weekend to the rain that comes in the spring, to the sun in the summertime, to earthquakes, to the seasons coming. God's in control. And He's also in control of things that happen amongst humans. He's in control. We can trust Him. We saw before, we're not going to understand. But He's in control. And then one last thing at least we could put here is that God has a right to expect us to obey. I was talking with the Academy kids today, and I forget, I picked two kids, and I said, if this kid tells this kid to do something, does he have any right to expect them to obey? And no, they're kids. But when God comes to us and says, this is what I expect, as our Creator, He has every right to expect us to obey. We get all sometimes, at least I get bent out of shape sometimes, and don't want to listen. But He's my Creator. How dare I challenge Him? He knows. I don't. Remember our Creator. Right? It should change life. And I think those four things lead us to that conclusion at the end of the chapter. It will help us stay away from the vanities and just live in a life of things that really don't matter for eternity. These four things. Remember that we're not going to know the works of God. We're not going to understand. We need to remember the day of darkness, that death is coming. Know that God will judge us and remember our Creator. As a quick side note, if you want to read the next part there of chapter 12, it has a description of old age. God says, remember your Creator while you're young. And then it says, before all this happens, the grinder cease, talking about her teeth and all kinds of things there. So why you've got a body with the energy to serve Him? Get on with it. And that's what I want for these kids. I want them to leave school here, ready to live a life that isn't vain, a life where they serve God. So.